Today, I'll be reading Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss. Congratulations, today is your day. You're off to great places, you're off and away. You have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own and you know what you know, and you are the guy who'll decide where to go. You'll look up and down streets, look them over with care. About some you will say, I don't choose to go there. With your head full of brains and your shoes full of feet, you're too smart to go down any not so good street. And you may not find any you'll want to go down. In that case, of course, you'll head straight out of town. It's opener there in the wide open air. Out there, things can happen and frequently do, too many as brainy and footsy as you. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew. Just go right along. You'll start happening too. Oh, the places you'll go. You'll be on your way up. You'll be seeing great sights. You'll join the high flyers who soar to high heights. You won't lag behind because you'll have the speed. You'll pass the whole gang and you'll soon take the lead. Wherever you fly, you'll be best of the best. Wherever you go, you will top all the rest. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups can happen to you. You can get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on. You'll be left in a lurch. You'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump, and the chances are then that you'll be in a slump. And when you're in a slump, you're not in for much fun. Unslumping yourself is not easily done. You will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're dark. A place you can sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Do you dare to go in? How much can you lose? How much can you win? And if you go in, should you turn left or right? Or right in 3/4, or maybe not quite? Or go around back and sneak in from behind? Simple is not, I'm afraid you will find, for a mind maker upper to make up his mind. You can get so confused that you'll start in to race down long wiggled roads at a breaknecking pace and grind on for miles across weirdish wild space, headed, I fear, toward a most useless place, the waiting place. For people just waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. Waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting, perhaps, for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or a better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everyone is just waiting. No, that's not for you. Somehow you'll escape. All that waiting and staying, you'll find the bright places where boom bands are playing. With banner flip-flapping, once more you'll ride high, ready for anything under the sky, ready because you're that kind of guy. Oh, the places you'll go. There is fun to be done. There are points to be scored. There are games to be won. And the magical things you can do with that ball will make you the winningest winner of all. Fame. You'll be famous as famous can be, with the whole wide world watching you win on TV. Except when they don't, because sometimes they won't. I'm afraid that sometimes you'll play lonely games too, games you can't win because you'll play against you. All alone, whether you like it or not, alone will be something you'll be quite a lot. And when you're alone, there's a very good chance you'll meet things that scare you right out of your pants. There are some down the road between hither and yon that can scare you so much you won't want to go on. But on you will go, though the weather be foul. On you will go, though your enemies prowl. On you will go, though the hacking cracks howl. Onward up many a frightening creek, though your arms may get sore and your sneakers may leak. On and on you will hike, and I know you'll hike far and face up to your problems, whatever they are. You'll get mixed up, of course, as you already know. You'll get mixed up with so many strange birds as you go. So be sure when you step, step with care and great tact, and remember that life's a great balancing act. Just never forget to be dexterous and deft, and never give up your right foot with your left. And will you succeed? Yes, you will indeed. 98 3/4% guaranteed. Kid, you'll move mountains. So, be your name Buxbaum or Bixby or Bray or Mordecai Ali, Van Allen, O'Shea, you're off to great places. Today is your day. Your mountain is waiting. So, get on your way. Thank you. Stand Tall, Molly Lou Mellon. Written by Patty Lovell. Illustrated by David Cattrall. Molly Lou Mellon stood just taller than her dog and was the shortest girl in the first grade. She didn't mind. Her grandma had told her, "Walk as proudly as you can, and the world will look up to you." So she did. Molly Lou Mellon had buck teeth that stuck out so far she could stack pennies on them. She didn't mind. Her grandma had told her, "Smile big, and the world will smile right alongside you." So she did. Molly Lou Mellon had a voice that sounded like a bullfrog being squeezed by a boa constrictor. She didn't mind. Her grandma had told her, "Sing out clear and strong, and the world will cry tears of joy." So she did. Molly Lou Mellon was often fumble-fingered. She didn't mind. Her grandma had told her, "Believe in yourself, and the world will believe in you too." So she did. Then Molly Lou Mellon moved to a new town. She had to say goodbye to her grandma and all her friends and start in a new school. On the first day of school, Ronald Durkin called her Shrimpo in gym class. When the game started, Molly Lou Mellon caught the football, ran under the legs of Ronald Durkin, and scored a touchdown. All the children thought, "Wow, she's good." And Ronald Durkin felt very foolish. On the second day of school, Ronald Durkin called her Bucky Tooth Beaver. Molly Lou Mellon took out her pennies, stacked 10 high on her teeth, and smiled as big as day. All the children smiled with glee, and Ronald Durkin felt very foolish. On the third day of school, Ronald Durkin said, "You sound like a sick duck. Hoink, hoink." Molly Lou Mellon sang out a quack so clear and strong that it made Ronald Durkin somersault backwards, hit his head, and have to go to the nurse. All the children cried with joy to be free of Ronald Durkin for the rest of the afternoon, and Ronald Durkin felt very foolish. On the fourth day of school, Ronald Durkin said that she'd made the snowflake all wrong, but Molly Lou Mellon opened up her paper and revealed the most beautiful snowflake of all. All the children oohed and aahed, even Ronald. On the fifth day of school, Ronald Durkin brought Molly Lou Mellon a stacking penny for her tooth and smiled at her. That night, Molly Lou Mellon took out a pencil and paper and wrote a letter to her grandma. "Dear Grandma, I wanted to tell you that everything you told me was exactly right. Love, Molly Lou Mellon." Thank you. Ellen's Broom by Kelly Starling Lyons, illustrated by Daniel Minter. Sunday morning, Ellen sat on the front pew with her family. She wiggled on the wooden seat, trying to get comfortable, but she knew not to say a word. Her people no longer had to worship at the back of the master's church or sneak to the woods for prayer meetings. Slavery days were over. They had so much to be thankful for. Ellen heard something new in the voices that swelled the church, built by her own with song. They were free. Joy filled her heart. Just then, Deacon stood to speak. He clutched a paper and raised it to heaven. "To God be the glory," he roared. "All former slaves living as husband and wife shall be registered and seen as married in the eyes of the law." All over the church, people leapt to their feet. Ellen did too. She understood only a little of what the preacher said, but she knew it was good. Her mother's eyes brimmed with tears. Her papa's hands clapped like thunder. Back home in their cabin, Ellen's parents walked over to the broom hanging on the wall. Mama always said it was part of the family, a witness to the way things were. She told the broom story over and over so they would never forget what they survived. "Ruby and Reuben," Mama asked the twins, "do you know what this broom was for?" "Weddings, Mama," Reuben answered quickly. "That's right," Mama said, nodding. Broom weddings were all most slaves were allowed to have. "Before freedom came, the law wasn't on our side," Papa told them. "Husbands and wives could be ripped apart, sold away at any time. It didn't matter if they cried or even begged to stay together. Master had the final say." As Ellen thought about her parents' words, she tried to imagine life without them. Her eyes burned and her heart ached. "That's not right," she said, shaking her head and trying to clear the image from her mind. "But we did the best we could with what we had," Papa said. "Deacon said a few words. Then we put this here broom on the ground, held hands, and leaped into life together. We were married in our hearts and in God's eyes," Mama said. "But we had no way to show it. That's all changed now. We can be married legal just like anybody else." A couple weeks later, when the sun peeked its rosy head into the sky, Mama said it was time for the journey. Ellen washed and dressed quickly. Ruby grinned and carried baby Noah on her hip. Reuben toted a sack with food. Mama took down the broom and handed it to Ellen. This broom was there from the start, so it should come along too, don't you think? She said with a wink. Ellen felt her chest puff with pride. She smiled and clutched the broom tight. As they walked to the courthouse, people from church, going for the same reason, joined them. Ellen looked around at the parade of strutting families and her parents holding hands. She listened to the sweet laughter and songs sailing in the air. She held the broom high. They stopped at a beautiful building near a row of flowers. Papa bowed his head and gave thanks that they arrived safely. Ellen's eyes grew large as they stepped inside. A freedman's borough officer interviewed a couple in the line in front of them. He wrote the man's and lady's names on a special register. Ruby said they were already married, but being part of that record was proof that they were legal husband and wife. Ellen looked at the woman's pretty dress and at her mama's plain one made of homespun cotton. She grabbed Ruby's arm and hurried her out of the room. "Where are you taking me, Ellen?" her big sister asked. "I have an idea," Ellen said as her eyes twinkled. "Did you see that patch of flowers outside?" Ruby nodded and a smile stretched across her face. The sisters ran out and carefully plucked some flowers. Then they weaved them through the straw until the broom was decorated with blooms of red and pink. In the courthouse, Ellen handed the broom to Mama, flower side up. Her mother's eyes filled with tears. "What's wrong, Mama?" Ellen asked, worried she had done something bad. "Nothing, baby," she said. "Everything is just right." The man added Papa's and Mama's names to the register. Then he asked them for the year they started living together as husband and wife and the names and ages of their children. Ellen grinned when Papa said hers. When the man finished writing, he explained that Mama and Papa were married in the eyes of God and the law. He handed them a certificate to take home. Papa kissed Mama and whirled her in the air like a new bride. On the way home, the family stopped for lunch beneath the shade tree. Ellen picked up the broom and laid it in front of her parents. "I want to see you jump the broom. Please, can you?" Papa frowned. "Broom jumping is the past, little bit. We're married. Official." "Please, Papa," Ellen said. "Mama always says the broom is part of us, too." "Papa's right," Mama said. "The broom is the past." Ellen hung her head. "But you're right, too," Mama said. "It will always be part of who we are. Come on, Papa. Let's show these young folks how it's done." "When I get married one day, I'm going to jump the broom too," Ellen said suddenly. Papa hesitated, then grinned. "That would be mighty fine, little bit," he said. "Mighty fine." When they returned to their cabin, Mama looked at the bare wall and then at Ellen. "That wall sure could use some fixing up," she said. Ellen knew just what it needed. As the last rays of light warmed the room, she smiled and hung up the certificate and the broom together. Thank you.